Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James with the rejection.
Greer putting the ball on a play. He gets it out deep and Havlicek steals it.
Jordan. Oh, a spectacular move by Michael Jordan.
Who's going to guard Karl Malone? Barkley. They got Akeem on Antoine Carr.
Russell will inbound at half court. Stockton. Open three. Hit it! John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Finals.
We appreciate you joining us on Name Change Pending today. Make sure and jump on Twitter. Follow your hosts Brian Priest at BPriest24, Tommy Girone at Ruthless_Lupe, and Josh Keel at Rise and Shout. Also, we know that you're busy, but if you could take 2 minutes out of your day and give us a 5-star rating on your podcatcher of choice, that would be so amazing. Help us move up those algorithms. I don't totally understand how they work, but I know with some 5-star ratings, the podcast shows up higher on the lists. And we want to help other people find the show, don't we? Doesn't really matter what you say for us. Maybe suggest some new verses for Ruthless Lupe. But thanks again for joining us, and stay tuned for more episodes of Name Change Pending. Welcome back to Pacific Division, Name Change Pending. This is your host, Brian Priest. I'm joined again by Tommy Girone and Josh Keel. Tommy, what's the Twitter handle there? Breathe, buddy.
It's at Ruthless Lupe.
You can talk louder. It's okay. Be proud.
I'm not proud.
Your rap career is going to be successful.
You need to say it more like Ruthless Lupe in the his house. Pew, 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 pew.
You do a better boo, 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 boo than me. Anyways, it's at Ruthless Lupe. That's RUTHLESS_LUPE.
Nice. And I'm Rise and Shout. This is Josh, but I'm at Rise and Shout. RYSEASHOUT.
Okay, so today we're going to be talking about the Pacific Division. I did the prep work on this one, so I'll get started with the Golden State Warriors. Last year they were 57-25, lost in the finals to the Toronto Raptors, ended up as the top seed in the West last season. They've still got Steve Kerr. He's returning for his sixth season with the team. Additions with this squad, D'Angelo Russell, they acquired in a sign-and-trade, sent Kevin Durant to the Nets and signed D'Angelo Russell to a max deal. They also picked up Willie Cauley-Stein, a center, played for the Kings the last couple seasons. Glenn Robinson III, whatever. And Alec Burks, they just had to throw a Jazz man in there if I get a chance. So as far as players that they lost, Kevin Durant, I mentioned that he was going to be gone either way this season, whether he re-signed with the team due to that torn Achilles. And then Andre Iguodala, they traded to the Grizzlies. Iguodala, you'll remember, was a 2015 Finals MVP, big bench piece in this five-year Warriors run so far. Projected closing five that I have for these guys, I've got Steph Curry, D'Angelo Russell playing in that lineup, Klay Thompson, assuming he returns after the All-Star break, which is right now that's the projection. Glenn Robinson III probably playing in the closing five before Klay returns. And the front court positions was kind of tough for me. I really don't know, besides Draymond Green, who's going to be effective in the front court for the Warriors. It's going to be mix and match until they can figure this out. But for the time being, I've got Eric Pascal in the lineup.
Yeah.
Rookie out of Villanova.
Well, in all fairness, like, Golden State Warriors have never really been backcourt heavy. Wait, no, front court heavy.
Yeah,
front court heavy. I mean, Green has held that front court down, you know, pretty much their whole dynasty run.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, you also could see Kevon Looney in that spot with Draymond playing the power forward. But either way, they're going to be more limited offensively in their closing lineups.
Yeah. You don't think they'd use Willie Cauley-Stein? Like, I mean, he's athletic enough.
Tall.
He's defensively, like, at least.
And I thought about that one.
You think they're going to put Looney over him?
I thought about Willie Cauley-Stein. Willie Cauley-Stein is a much more talented player, I think. But I just don't know if they're going to trust him. He's limited. He's not an X's and O's type of basketball player. Willie Cauley-Stein likes to freelance.
Nice to say that. That's
I can see you guys' faces. Oh, where's he going to go with this? I like Willie Cauley-Stein as an athlete, but he hasn't shown in, and it's Sacramento, so who knows?
Right.
But he never showed an ability to be effective and play the team game consistently. So, yeah. I mean, we'll see. He is an option there. They've got a lot of big guys that could play. It's just, you know, that Steve Kerr likes players who can run a system. And So we'll see how that ends up.
I wonder how much culture affects that, because like Boogie Cousins, when he was in Sacramento, it's kind of the same thing. He was just a trash person who just got his own shots. And then he went to Golden State and all of a sudden fit into the team, meshed in, because that's what the culture is that everybody does.
He didn't really play, but by all accounts, just as a person on the team, he was a good player. He was a team first kind of guy, which you never would have said about Boogie before. So, Boogie. He had a rough summer. We probably won't mention him a whole lot. He's out all year. He tore his ACL, and he's also got some legal troubles after threatening his ex about wanting his kid at their wedding. Yes, baby mama. That's really the best way to put it. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot going on there. Best case for the Warriors, Steph Curry, he rises to the challenge. You know, Klay Thompson out this year, they lost a lot of offensive firepower, but Steph returns to that MVP form we saw after winning two consecutive MVPs early in this Warriors run. Draymond comes back healthy and in shape. That's the key with Draymond. He wasn't in shape early last year, was a talk, and then he lost about 20 pounds after the All-Star break. Dang. Going into the playoffs, and he was a monster in the playoffs. Right. So that's best case. Then you're also looking for Klay to return from that ACL tear around the All-Star break.
I don't think Klay returns like everyone says he does.
No? What do you think?
I mean, he tore his ACL. His jump shot, he jumps like it's a jump shot. Like it's not, you know, he gets up when he shoots.
Yeah, definitely.
I think they're going to err on the side of caution with him. Just because, for one, they paid him a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
After everything that happened to Kevin Durant, they sat him out. They cleared him to play. Tears, you know. I don't see. Jeez.
I ate some dairy this morning.
Is stomach's talking back. Dairy.
Okay, Coach Steve.
Have you seen season 3?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
Have we seen season 3? But I don't think he returns.
For that.
I think he returns. He works in the gym, gets his shot back, and I say late in the season.
Okay.
To build the rhythm and then to play in the playoffs.
I mean, that's possible. The All-Star break is about 9 months, which is typical with the ACL injury, where guys can typically get cleared to play. Klay Thompson has been a guy who recovers from injury throughout his career. He's recovered faster, but I don't necessarily disagree with you, Tommy. I think that's why I say the best case scenario if Klay can return and be effective, but I don't think he's going to be the Klay that we're used to. He's not going to be that defensive stalwart. He's going to be a catch and shoot guy. He's not going to do a whole lot of creating when he comes back. Worst case, like we were just saying, he takes longer than expected to return from that ACL. D'Angelo Russell comes in, and as some people are predicting, D'Angelo struggles to fit into the offense. He's not a great three-point shooter, more of a mid-range shooter. And so the Warriors struggle to fit that into their offense. Draymond Green comes into camp out of shape, kind of like he was last year. And if Draymond isn't the second-best player on this team this year, the Warriors could miss the playoffs.
Right. I think with Klay, too, circumstances could make a difference. If they're, if they're so far out, they're sitting at the 11th seed when his knee's better, they might just say, pack it in, we'll just do it next year.
Yep.
And if they're, fighting for it, or if they're in the mid and they're looking to be a 4 or 5 seed, maybe they'll bring him back so they can have a playoff run.
Yep.
But if the playoffs are not a thing for them, then why have him go out and blow his knee up this year for nothing when you can just have him sit a year and come back better the next year?
Yeah, that's my exact thought with the Warriors, is the first 3 months of the year are going to dictate the Klay Thompson recovery. And if they're a middling team early, then I can see them holding Klay off and saying, you know what, let's just wait till next year and come back at full strength.
You also got to worry about Steph Curry's ankles. He'll play through it. He rolls it really bad one time. He'll still take some games off, but then he tries to come back and he'll still try and play on it. And he's not the same.
Yeah.
And I think that's what happened in the playoffs. He was real shoddy in the playoffs. Like, he didn't.
Yeah, he was inconsistent. Like, he was definitely inconsistent in the playoffs.
I think he was playing hurt in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So if Steph can stay healthy and maybe, I think that's the big, worst case is Steph rolls his ankle pretty bad and is inconsistent.
Yeah, that's always a concern with Steph. So we'll see how that goes. My prediction is that really I look at this Warriors roster and it's shallow compared to what they've had previously. The last couple of years they've been so top heavy they haven't had a lot of bench depth, and just because of the way contracts were staggered this year, they still didn't have the ability to add a lot of bench depth. They brought in a lot of young players. They've got rookies Eric Pascal, Allen. So my logic is that's a guy that they had on their G League team. They've been watching for a while, and then I believe the Grizzlies drafted him, and the Warriors were kind of fired up, so they traded for him. Jordan Poole, also out of Michigan. But I feel like they're going to rely too much on some of those young players. If Steph isn't at MVP form, then they're going to really struggle to be near the top of the Western Conference. I see them making the playoffs, but probably not a top four seed. And if Clay is healthy, though, in the playoffs, they could be the toughest out. So that'll be interesting to watch.
Yeah, that could be one of those situations where you get the 3 seed and you're like, okay, we got the 3 seed. And then they're like, oh, but you got the Warriors as the 6. And you're like, don't like that.
Exactly.
Not like that at all.
Exactly. And we'll move on to the Clippers. Last year, they were 48-34, lost to the Warriors in the first round as the 8 seed. Doc Rivers returns for his 7th season. I don't know if you guys have heard of players like Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. It's hard to say. And then departures, they traded Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Danilo Gallinari, and also lost Sindarius Thornwell. He signed with the Cavs.
Wasn't Paul George that shoddy defender who gave up that shot to Dame Dollar?
Yeah, well, and you don't always want to put a hand up on a 40-footer, I guess. Wow, that was awesome. And then Dame not even smiling that shot of him in the pile of Blazers, and he's just like, yeah.
That's what happens when I shoot, guys.
projected closing 5 for the Clippers. I've got Pat Beverly, Lou Williams, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, and Montrezl Harrell. I really like Montrezl Harrell. Ivaka Zubac is probably a slightly better center, but as far as the closing 5, Harrell gives you a little bit more intensity and options.
And defensively, that is a disgusting lineup.
Besides Lou Williams, yeah.
No one wants to try and score on
terrifying.
That.
Terrifying. And you could hide Lou Williams against almost any closing lineup.
Right.
And you've got scoring from every position. Clippers are going to be tough.
Yep.
Best case for the Clippers, I think these guys are the best defensive team in the league. They don't have to sacrifice offense in the closing minutes either to get defensive players on the floor. They've got all kinds of lineup combinations. They're at least 2 deep at every position on this squad. And, they end up being the toughest out in the playoffs. Worst case, Paul George takes longer than expected to come back from his dual shoulder injuries this offseason. Right now, they're looking at him coming back after a couple weeks, but there hasn't been a ton of conversation about that. Load management with Kawhi doesn't work quite as well as it did in Toronto last season. Kawhi plays, 50, 60 games. The thing is, I don't think the Clippers are really going to be that concerned with the regular season. It's just going to be, let's make the playoffs and be healthy.
Right.
So that worst case, if the load management doesn't hurt, some of those leg injuries from Kawhi crop up. And then worst case, they get knocked out of the playoffs by the Lakers.
That is very worst case for them.
Clippers fans wouldn't be happy.
The worst case would be if it was a 1-8 matchup and the Lakers still beat them as the 8 seed and just let them know, no matter what you do.
We still own this town.
This is still our team, our city.
My prediction for the Clippers, they're going to be a top 2 team in the West. They're the toughest, deepest team defensively and offensively. They're going to be great. I don't want the Jazz to play them. I'll put it that way. I think the Clippers are going to be fantastic. Thank you for listening to this episode of Name Change Pending. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook. Just search for Name Change Pending and subscribe to get the newest episodes of the podcast and to check out photos of hosts Josh Keel, Tommy Girone, and Brian Preece as we travel the continent to do what we love, watch sports. Also, I know you've got a lot going on today, but if you could take 2 minutes out of your busy schedule to give the podcast a 5-star review on your podcatcher of choice, we would greatly appreciate it. Those algorithms can be tricky, and all I know is that 5-star ratings jump us up the lists. So thanks for tuning in, and now back to the show. Next, we've got the Lakers, 37-45 last year. Even with LeBron, they missed the playoffs. It was beautiful. It was really, really fun to see.
Only sort of with LeBron. He sat out a lot because of
his
injuries.
He missed like 20-some games, but I just
that's a quarter
it.
Of the season.
So much fun.
25% of the season.
It's weird how when a guy demands a trade on another team and then half of your roster is heavily involved in trade talks, apparently that splinters a roster.
Yeah, no one has ever played a trade better than the Pelicans did by releasing that thing. They want to get rid of all these players, just so you guys know, none of you are safe.
Yeah, that was awesome.
See you later.
Awesome. I loved it. That was the moment when the Lakers season fell apart. They fired Luke Walton after two seasons, hired Frank Vogel. But the fun thing about the Frank Vogel hire is that's not who they really wanted to hire.
Right.
LeBron James wanted Jason Kidd, so they hired Vogel and then brought Jason Kidd in as an assistant coach. And that's just asking for trouble. Because LeBron, I love LeBron, but he's got a history as... being detrimental toward coaches.
He's a coach killer.
There you go. I didn't want to go that far.
Eric Spoelstra's still a coach. He didn't kill that coach.
He tried.
Only because
he
Pat
went
Riley's
to Pat Riley
now.
And tried to get Spoelstra fired and get Riley to take over the team.
And then
he got David Blatt fired.
And so
Jason Kidd's got some demons in the closet.
And so they didn't want. They felt like that was a bad look given the political climate to hire someone like that.
Yeah.
But then you still hire him. At some point, you're going to have to fire Frank Vogel because this isn't going to work. Now he just ran someone else out of town on top of it. There's not like there's no smooth way to hire someone with his criminal history and not look bad.
Plus, whole hiring of Frank Vogel, too, was just a mess because they wanted
Monty Williams.
Yeah, they wanted Monty Williams. He's like, ah, I'm good.
Monty Williams
was
smart.
And then they wanted Ty
Lue. Yeah.
And then Ty Lue's like... No, I'm not going to be your second choice.
Yeah.
And Ty Lue wanted a contract that went longer than LeBron's. Like, he's got like 2 or 3 years left, and they were going to sign him to like
3 years.
You're here with LeBron, and that's it. And Ty Lue was like, no, no, no. I want my own contract that's longer than that. And they were like, well, we can't do that. That's crazy talk.
Yeah.
And so then he's like, yeah, I'm good.
And then they were like, you know what? I have one idea. Frank Vogel.
Mm-hmm.
He's our new head coach.
And the thing is, Frank Vogel's a good coach. As far as Jason Kidd hasn't shown an ability to be a good coach. He wasn't effective with the Nets. He wasn't good in Milwaukee.
Right. Because he had Giannis,
He's
right?
a name. Yeah. yeah. He's just yeah. a name. I'm not very high on this Lakers team compared to a lot of national media. Additions for the Lakers, Anthony Davis, of course. Can we count a healthy LeBron as a potential addition? I think so. I mean, he was really good early in the season.
He's getting
old.
But
he was good
workhorse.
When he came back. He almost averaged a triple-double.
I feel like he's getting too old to be a workhorse.
He is very old. I'll talk about that. And not so much old as
Older.
Minutes played. They also signed Danny Green from the Raptors. They acquired Avery
also
Bradley from the Grizzlies and Dwight Howard from the Wizards. Avery Bradley
old
hasn't
back.
Been good in years. Dwight Howard hasn't been able to play more than 20 or 30 games in years. Like,
he has a bad back. When you're as big as he is and you have a bad back, you're done.
Plus, he's a locker room cancer. That's
right.
What?
He's
so,
crazy.
He looks so happy.
As far as guys that they lost, Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, of course, three draft picks that they sent to the Pelicans, so they don't have a draft pick this season. They also lost JaVale McGee and Tyson Chandler.
JaVale McGee!
This is really good, Tom. Are you getting tired?
No.
Oh, okay. So projected closing five for the Lakers, I've got LeBron, AD, Kyle Kuzma, Danny Green, and a point guard to be determined. The thing is with the Lakers, I don't like their roster right now, but the buyout market, they're almost certainly going to get at least two guys off of the buyout market. I just don't know who. They don't have a point guard on this roster right now.
They'll probably just have LeBron be point guard and play a bigger lineup, won't they?
Yeah, I mean, early they will, but yeah. Going into the playoffs, LeBron, every year that LeBron has had success, he's had a ball-handling shooting point guard. When he doesn't have that, his teams tend to struggle a little bit more.
Yeah, when he doesn't have two players that average more than 20 points, he struggles. He doesn't win championships.
Does he count as one of the players who score the 20 points?
No, but Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving do.
Gotcha.
Fact. So best case for the Lakers, LeBron and AD form the dynamic duo that a lot of people expect. Kyle Kuzma gets a little bit better. He complements them as a three-point shooting threat. Danny Green also shooting the ball well. They don't have a lot of depth, but they make up for that in star power. And then, as I said, the midseason buyout market, Lakers are able to get a couple guys and bolster that roster. With that depth being a concern, I look at this team in the worst case. Who's going to play defense? Rajon Rondo is a name, but he hasn't been good in years.
Right.
He doesn't play any defense. LeBron James is a terrific defensive player, but he doesn't play defense in the regular season. The video is all over the web of him being out of position or not putting effort in with the Lakers last year. What else do we have? Dwight Howard. If Dwight Howard has to get significant minutes, that's a problem for the Lakers, no matter how you cut it. And then they just don't have a lot of depth. I mean, if Alex Caruso is the player fans are hyped about coming into this season. Sorry.
Hey, man, he's going to be an all-star this year.
Hey, I tell you what, Tommy, if Alex Caruso makes the all-star team, I'll wear a Chargers jersey to the game this year.
Handshake and bet made.
Deal.
The funny thing about this lineup is, like, if they had a different front office, I'd have more faith in them being quality going through the season and figuring out a way to make it work. But just the train wreck that is the Lakers front office makes it feel like even if you gave them a couple more good players, they're going to find a way to screw it up. Like, no matter what you give them, they're going to destroy their sale and just throw it all over the place.
Yeah,
you know?
And that's exactly what I have for my prediction. There's a ton of roster churn on this team, and then the front office turmoil with Rob Pelinka, you know, former president of basketball ops, Magic Johnson, quitting late last season. LeBron's the best player of a generation, and Anthony Davis is a top five player. But, I mean, all things being real, LeBron James is the GM of this team, and he hasn't shown an ability to consistently make the right decisions and push for the right players to come in. Like, he's a champion of Rajon Rondo. Rajon Rondo can't play.
Right.
So it
in 15 years when he owns a team, he's going to be the Jerry Jones, or no, he's going to be like Dan Snyder. Mm-hmm. He's going to be on the team, can't get out of the way, hire a GM, but won't let him do his job. And then there's going to be problems just all around.
He'll probably be a little more politically correct than Dan Snyder is, though.
But I think the Lakers don't really match up well with anybody.
We're really long.
After the starting five, like, I don't think they match up well with anyone.
Yeah, I've got the Lakers making the playoffs, but I don't see them doing a whole lot in the playoffs. I think there's just too much turmoil around this team. There's going to be the Jason Kidd, the Rob Pelinka, LeBron James. It's going to be an interesting season in La La Land. Yeah. Move on now to the Sacramento Kings. They were 39-43 last year, missed the playoffs. They moved on from Dave Yeager as their head coach and hired Luke Walton. They added Dwayne Dedman from the Hawks, Trevor Ariza from the Wizards, and Rashawn Holmes from the Suns. They lost Willie Cauley-Stein, as we talked about, to the Warriors. Kosta Kufis signed in Russia, and Frank Mason is now a Milwaukee Buck. As far as production on the court, Cauley-Stein was the most productive player that they lost, but I don't see it being a huge deal. They've got players that they hope can replace him. Projected closing five. I love De'Aaron Fox. De'Aaron Fox might be my favorite point guard in the NBA right now. Not going to lie. I love his game, his quickness. Buddy Hield has been really good. They've also got Harrison Barnes, Marvin Bagley, and Harry Giles, I think, as the closing five that they want to have. Harry Giles hasn't shown an ability to stay healthy since high school. Marvin Bagley expected to grow a lot this year as far as his game, but we'll see how that goes. Best case for this team, like I said, De'Aaron Fox is the best young point guard in the NBA. Bagley develops, and he is an offensive and defensive threat. Harry Giles can tap into some of that potential and stay healthy. Buddy Hield continues to work. All accounts are that Buddy Hield's one of the hardest workers in basketball, so that bodes well for them. And the Kings end up fighting for a playoff spot. With their speed and athleticism, they love to get up and down the floor. I expect Luke Walton to keep doing that this year. And then, best case, like I said, they sneak into the playoffs as an 8 seed. Worst case, Marvin Bagley is just, an offensive player in the Sharif Abdur-Rahim mold. I love mentioning Sharif Abdur-Rahim anytime I can. Harry Giles still deals with injuries. Dwayne Dedman and Trevor Ariza, you're looking at them going, why? Like, what's the point of signing them? They really just come in and the veterans take minutes from some of the young guys that could have worked to develop. And then the Kings go backwards after winning, 39 games last year. They end up winning about 35 and don't even sniff the playoffs. And that's a possibility in the West. Prediction, I think the Kings are good, but the West is just way too tough for them to contend. They're going to show a lot of improvement, but they're limited defensively and pretty small as a team. I think they've only got one legitimate 7-footer on the roster. Similar record to last season, and they move on from Vlade Divac. And honestly, that might end up being the best case scenario for them, because I don't think Divac is a really good GM, and he has proven over and over again that he struggles managing a salary cap. So last I've got the Phoenix Suns. We don't have to talk about them a ton. They were 19-63 last year, obviously missed the playoffs. They're going to miss the playoffs again this year. They might even have a worse record. They fired Igor Kokoshkov, former Jazz assistant coach. They hired Monty Williams. He was probably the most in-demand coach this offseason. They added Ricky Rubio, Frank Kaminsky from the Hornets, Dario Saric of the Timberwolves, and Aaron Baines of the Celtics. They brought in some good experience. They lost Rashawn Holmes, Dragan Bender, and Josh Jackson.
I thought you said Rashawn Holmes to a drug bender. That's what I was like, wait, what?
It's not the 80s.
Yeah. My bad. Continue.
I love it. Projected closing five for the Suns, Tyler Johnson at point guard, Devin Booker playing the shooting guard, Kelly Oubre, Dario Saric, and DeAndre Ayton. Suns are pretty small, too. Not necessarily a lot of strength. They've got some good length on the team, but just not a big team. Best case is that Devin Booker, after the summer controversy, learns how to handle double teams like a man. And then they show some improvement. They win 25 or more games, but they don't sniff the playoffs. They finally have somebody that looks like a point guard on their roster in Ricky Rubio. Problem is he can't shoot. But in this best case scenario, they learn about some of their rookies and their second year players and can make decisions on whether or not they'll be able to build around them. Worst case, they're still the Phoenix Suns.
Right.
And Robert Sarver is their owner, which is the West Coast James Dolan. So rough for the Suns. My prediction, the Suns are going to be bad. For some reason, the Suns think they're going to be a playoff contender, and they're just not. They brought in some of these veterans, and that's going to stymie the growth of their young guys. And they won't know what they have. They're going to go into next season with the same problem, wondering, is Eli Okobo any good? Can DeAndre Ayton be a good player? I believe it was James Johnson was a guy that they drafted out of North Carolina. Johnson, who knows his last name. But those guys don't get enough playing time, and the Suns continue to be the Suns. That'll wrap up the Pacific Division, unless you guys have anything else to add.
No, I think you did a great job there.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Well, that wraps up the Western Conference, and then tomorrow we'll get started on the Eastern Conference with the Southeast Division. Thanks for choosing Name Change Pending.